Okay, final hour with Dwayne Elgin as we talk about the living universe, and we'll take your calls as well. I've always been fascinated by the theory that the universe, that this planet is alive, and perhaps you have been too. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Dwayne Elgin. Dwayne, as you look at everything that you've researched and investigated, what do you see as the single most important factor about all of this, about this living universe? What do you think propels all of this?
Same work. George, so I understand. What's the most important thing about the living universe?
Yeah, what's propelling it? What's steering it in the direction that it's going? And I don't mean a steering type direction,
yeah,
but a direction of, you know, of a living universe.
Well, I think that if you look at the architecture of the universe, in other words, if you say, okay, let's set aside any preconceptions and just look at the physical forms that we see in the universe at every scale, is there a repeating pattern? Is there a repeating form that we see again and again? And indeed there is. And it's called a torus. And a torus, it looks like a donut or a tornado if it's a dynamic one. But it's the simplest geometry, the simplest structure of a self-organizing system. And what that means is that the universe does have a central project. The universe is creating at every scale self-organizing systems. And if you ask if there's any central activity underway in the universe that you can identify just by looking, you could say, well, I can see self-organizing systems at every scale. It means we need to self-organize if we're going to be in alignment and harmony with the universe. And if you look at our condition on the Earth right now, boy, do we need to self-organize.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So, I take a lesson from the universe that it is self-organizing all over the place at every scale, and we need to take some lessons from the universe and step up to the game ourselves.
All right, let's go back to calls. Final hour. It'll go by fast. Jeffrey is in Bellingham, Washington. Hey, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
How are you doing, Dwayne and George?
Good. Thank you.
I wanted to say a quick, as far as gratitude goes, I'm pretty grateful for this show, and I know a lot of people are. Everybody involved in it's helping out a lot of people. And but I wanted to say there was a caller earlier, and they were talking about, you know, some of this stuff and, you know, see where that's going and everything. And it made me think about that contrast. The contrast is so extreme these days. It just brings out choice, and it kind of helps you choose which direction you want to be going. But what I wanted to ask Dwayne was, something about DNA, and if he thinks that contained in our DNA is information about other life in the universe, and then if certain things could, like, take down synaptic barriers, makes it easier for us to see that. If I could get his opinion on that.
Great. Thanks, Jeff.
All right.
I agree with you that contrast, first of all, does clarify our choices. And boy, are we getting some contrast in the world and choice of direction. And it's not clear what direction we are going to take. And it is clear that we're going to have to make some choices. It's clear we can't kick the can down the road a whole lot longer. And it's clear the climate and other factors are going to come back and bite us. So actually, that's very important. Thank you for saying that. DNA, I don't know about. I just know about the mystery of the universe and how amazing it is the universe can self-assemble in so quickly, not by random processes, but by some deeper intelligence, self-assemble itself and create planets that are then able to create life forms that are able to sit here and have a this conversation around the world. It's quite extraordinary. So all I'm left with is awe and mystery.
You know, it is just amazing about the things that happen in this universe that physicists still
yeah.
can't put together.
Yeah.
They just can't figure it out.
They know how to work with it, but they don't know what it is that they're working with.
Who created the laws of the universe? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
There's too much order.
Yes. Yes. It's a highly, See, and I feel that the dimensions of the universe are containers, are creative containers. And so I grew up in a world of three dimensions. And in three dimensions, it's not going anywhere. It's just the seasons going around and around. And so it's understandable that I grew up in a community that really values stability. And it was a very strong church-growing community and a lot of stability. And every year was the same pattern. Then along came the agribusiness and so on, and all of a sudden, instead of the same pattern year by year, we turned into a business, and it had a linear dimension. It was going somewhere. And so dimensions, I think, as well, going from three to four to five and so on, we are awakening into other spheres of creativity, of consciousness, of reflection, and action. And here we are on the verge of breaking into another sphere of consciousness and connection, and that is where we can be, see ourselves as inhabitants of a living universe, and we look back on the Earth, we look back on our creations over the last 50,000 years, and we say, okay, now how can we gather from our collective intelligence a pathway into the future? And I think, what an exciting time to be alive that we're doing that right now.
Really, I agree with that. Let's go to Mike in Roswell, New Mexico. Take it away, Mike.
Hey, George, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Our living universe, let's just say we got one, and that we got the black hole that is spitting material out, making our galaxy. The Hubble telescope is chasing galaxies all the way back to the Big Bang. All right, this James Webb telescope, when it comes online, if it doesn't get canceled, it's going to be doing the same thing. So when we get back there, are we going to be looking at the back end of a black hole?
That's a great question.
I mean, it's still one. I think it's just one universe, and we got our black holes in the universe. And, it's alive because we got our galaxies growing in it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Mike.
It is alive.
It is. I think so. My experience says so. And regarding what Mike was saying, it is one universe. Golly, I don't pretend to know. I'm just following the conjecture of all of these scientists around the world that are saying, given everything they understand, it must have there must be multiple universes. Well, I don't know for sure, but it's sure an extraordinary conjecture that that is where we are and who we are. Whoa.
Next up, Steven's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he's on Coast to Coast. Hi, Steven.
Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome.
Doing great tonight. Awesome subject, and it's really inspiring. I just want to interject a little bit about, I think the reason why we're waking up right now and discovering more about ourselves is in relation to where we are in the universe, and that we're floating through that part of the galaxy that where the energy is heightened, and it seems like maybe it's unlocking parts of ourselves that just have been waiting for the right time. Our perception is our reality, where not long ago we lived in a flat world with in the center of the universe. And now, the more we learn about ourselves, it's kind of an inevitable thing that's happening. And you might not want to hear this, George, but someday soon this show may not be really all that exciting because everything will be so commonplace. all these wonderful things will be happening to us every day.
No, not to worry, Stephen. We'll always stay edgy. We'll find something to twist.
You will.
Awesome. Well, I'll always be listening.
We will find something to twist indeed. I mean, there are complexities in the universe. There's no doubt. Here's an example. When physicists talk about the universe is expanding, I still can't figure what it's expanding into.
Well, that's the key point about higher dimensions, that there must be higher dimensions if the universe is opening up. It's breathing almost. The fabric of space-time itself between the galaxies is opening up. And so, how can it open up unless there's a larger context within which it can open up into, which means that our expanding, opening universe is residing within a much larger frame that's embracing it, holding it, allowing it to go through its evolutionary dynamics.
Okay, next up, let us go to Anchorage, Alaska. Hello, Richard, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Great show. Hey, you know, I think you're right that we must be telling a different story, a better story about things. But the thing is you can't say that on one hand, and on the other hand, talk about the doom and gloom of everything, the economy or the environment and stuff like that, because what you're doing is you're taking two steps forward and one step back. Now, if you kept your focus only on the good stuff, then you'll create and manifest more good, because you never tell your kids, hey, you know what? Your life is doomed, and it's really going to suck from here on out. You would talk them up and say, hey, you know what? You have your whole future ahead of you. Everything is at your access. You have, the human consciousness is making great gains, and the potential for anything and everything is yours. You would talk up the good stuff. You wouldn't talk about the sucky stuff. And the same thing, especially when you have millions of people as an audience, you should talk only about the good and the bright stuff happening. Because if you don't, you're going to manifest the negative too.
Well, you know, Richard, I've weighed that, believe me. But I think it's important to talk about both, because people need to know what's exactly going on. You can't temper that at all. Go ahead, Dwight.
I'm with you, George. I feel just it's a heavy heart to see what's happening in the world. And it isn't to say it's sucky stuff. It's just to trivialize it. This is for adults to step up and mature people to look straight ahead and say, look, this generation has to step up the game here. And it isn't to talk about doom and gloom. It's to talk about responsibility and accountability. Is to say, okay, let's look at a future that really works for us, that one that really works for our kids and our grandkids. It is to use our capacity for consciousness to reflect upon who we are, what we're doing, where we're going from here. So I'm with Richard in many ways in wanting to get beyond the doom and gloom that's so much out there right now. And that's why I am putting so much of my attention right now on stories of the Great Transition. And the transition says, well, let's acknowledge we will go through a difficult time, but on the other side of that difficult time is a future of promise. And the promise comes from us stepping up the game, being willing to go beyond our partisanship and reach out to other people and explore how we can recreate our lives in ways that work. So, yeah.
All right, let's go to Columbia, Missouri. Hey, Bradley, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to explain to everyone there is no such thing as black holes. Now, there are huge stars with such gravity they hold in their light. Now, when they pass by a solar system, they suck that solar system in a spiral, and we see that spiral of junk and call it a black hole, but it's just a big star sucking in a solar system. And dark matter, we can't see that because these particles are smaller than light particles, so light doesn't reflect off of them, doesn't bounce off of it, it just goes through it. So that's why we don't see it. And finally, I have a theory on the source of dark energy. I think there's places in the universe where matter comes into existence from nothing. That's where I think God lives. But when a particle of matter comes into being, another particle of matter comes into being behind it and pushes the first one out, and this process continues. And there's points in space where all these particles sometimes coalesce on a single point, and they're coming from every direction. And so then pressure builds up. So these particles are forced into larger conglomerates like atoms and molecules, and that's the process that forms things like planets and stars. And, well, that's... So,
all right. Well, let me get your take on this, Dwayne, where Bradley says there are no black holes. Scientists just a few days ago talked about a couple black holes, huge ones that have been found.
The most massive they've ever discovered, yeah.
I mean, I would agree with him that the stars are sucking in, you know, they're sucking in the other star systems and things like that.
Right.
But where do they go?
Well, you see, that is the wonderful question that I am astonished the scientists are not asking. Why aren't they asking? Well, the two questions you have just asked, if we have an expanding universe, what's it expanding into? I don't hear that question in the Scientific American, New Scientist, and so on. And your other question. So I think we're just it's a mystery within a mystery here. And the more we learn, the more mysterious it becomes. This is an amazing time to be alive. So I really don't have any comments about black holes, and I'm not a physicist, so I shouldn't be a person commenting.
You're not really a scientist, are you? No.
No, I'm not. Well, not really. I mean, what's a scientist? I've certainly studied a number of sciences, and I started off in pre-med in my college years and so on. But no, I am more just a citizen of this universe that looks around and says, golly, it's time to really step up the game here, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Next, let's go to Rusty in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Hey, Rusty, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. Hey, Dwayne. How are y'all?
Okay.
Greetings.
Good, Rusty. Thanks.
I have a theory about where this stuff goes on the other end of the black holes, just really quick. I think it goes to the same place where that other sock went from the dryer, and also where the gold at the end of the rainbow is. So I think that could be validated through some type of higher mathematics.
Indeed.
So, but, I had a quick question. Do you think the collective consciousness can change with everything going on right now? Do you think it could actually change the direction that we're headed?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, don't you? I mean, that's the basis of what you've talked about, Dwayne.
Oh, completely. I mean, we are in one of the most unique but brief, I think, periods of human history, where for a decade or so, there's an opening right now. And there are a lot of contending views and visions of what's happening in 2012 and beyond and so on. So now is the time that the collective consciousness, through the technology that we were speaking about earlier, the awakening of the global brain, the collective consciousness is there. We are aware of the Arabs and vice versa and so on. We do have the capacity to change direction, but it will require, in my estimation, a new level of maturity, a new level of heroic engagement. You can just take these different stories of great transition and just say, we're going to have to either wake up, step up, grow up. I don't care how you put it. But it's time, if we're going to change direction, as we know we must, if we're going to have a future of sustainable prosperity, it is time to step up in whatever way we are empowered and gifted to do so.
All right, we're going to come back in just a moment, Dwayne. We're going to take final phone calls. Fast night here on Coast to Coast AM, and then I'll tell you what's in store tomorrow, so don't go away. On our next Coast to Coast program, Chad Lewis joins us as we go back into the 1800s looking at strange, unusual, and bizarre cases, and then, of course, we'll have our Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. Dwayne, what would you be in awe over? Is there anything?
You know, there's so many things. Actually, there's just everything, if you pay attention to it, is pretty amazing. And so it's really a matter of me just slowing down and appreciating the miracle that exists. You know, American Indians talk about three miracles. The first miracle is that anything exists at all. Second miracle is that living things exist, plants and animals. Third miracle is that living things exist that know they exist, that can reflect upon that, and that's ourselves. And we tend to get so much into the third miracle of our own thinking, reflection, and all of that, that we forget the first miracle, that there's anything here at all. And so this writing this book over decades, The Living Universe, is an exercise in that first miracle to say, wow, there is something here when it's possible there doesn't have to be. And the something that is here is much more mysterious and alive and generative than we ever thought. So that.
There you go. Well, let's wrap this hour up with some final calls.
Yeah.
Yasheen in Edmonton, Alberta, you're up with us. First-time caller. Go ahead, Yasheen.
Hi, guys. First, I wanted to thank you so much. I've been recently introduced to Coast to Coast, and I love your program.
Well, great. Thank you.
I believe it should be taught in schools so that people actually know what to look forward and what to study for. And this is my whole point of thinking that the world that is, we are in a whole place as one, and the time we can understand all this is the time that we can communicate even to each other and to the world, like even to stars and everything around us. The time we can communicate and figure what they're trying to tell us is the time that all this is going to be solved. And science is, I believe, is the way, is the language that we are using at the current, at the moment, which is very, very interesting and very amazing.
Oh, super. Thank you so much. And he's right.
Yeah. I didn't hear a question in there, though.
No, it was an observation.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Yeah. See, I love science. There's so much superstition to cut through. And I've done this work in parapsychology, for example, filled with superstition. Just use tools of science, cut through, and you find there's some very simple dynamics at work or not at work. And it's a truth-telling process, as I said before. So I think science is critical to the human endeavor, actually.
All right. Next up, let's go to Rome, Georgia. Steve Stern on Coast to Coast. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question deals with a comment that you made earlier, George, about the laws that exist and us trying to understand them, which kind of brings me to my question about this recent phenomenon that they have published and talked about with the photons changing state when they're not connected. They were talking about how spaceships may be traveling to our space and then back again, maybe using this type of transportation. They were talking how one photon can be affected, even though it's not even connected to the other one, by changing the one. I'm just wondering if our entire scientific community may not be spreading itself too thin with this age of enlightenment. I just think we maybe owe it to ourselves to maybe drop back a couple of notches and look at what we have here in our own universe and try to understand it a little better, because if those, I mean, photons, we think in terms of, most of the time, reactions from an action. And if something like this exists, which we don't understand, in order to further enlightenment, wouldn't we do best, I mean, like we did with the atomic bomb and, you know, bringing the splitting of the atom into our understanding, something like that to me screams out that we would do best to try to understand that type of phenomenon if we can observe it. And that would maybe take us light years ahead instead of trying to postulate, you know, stuff that we don't even need to have an understanding of right now. I'm just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, you know, here's one thing that comes up for me, because I spent decades doing research, Steve, and it is that currently human knowledge is actually doubling about every 18 months. And you can see this. It isn't just the quantity of knowledge. It's also the quality, because the computer systems and such are able to weave together bits and pieces of knowledge and aggregate it into more useful aggregates of knowledge. And so I don't know. You're suggesting we drop back and really try and understand what we have. At the same time, we have this avalanche of understanding and information to assimilate, absorb, trying to digest as we find our way into a new future. So I don't suggest, Steve, I have an answer. I'm just trying to postulate even more clearly the problem to do what you're suggesting. So this is an amazing time.
It's also hard to believe that one day all of this, Dwayne, comes to an end, that the universe is over.
Oh, right.
You know, maybe it collapses among, within itself or something, but.
Yeah. See, I think there are many ecologies. I think this is the place to get started. We're just a step above a black hole, for heaven's sakes. We're just in the second, third, fourth dimension. We're just getting started here, and we live in a universe of infinite dimensionality, probably, according to science. So every dimension is an opportunity space. It's a creative space. It's an opportunity to learn space. And so my guess is if we can get a hold of ourselves in a way that's relatively compassionate and conserving and whatever, mature, well, we can just then move into other ecologies of being and becoming and creativity and such. No problem. Universe is welcoming in many ways. So, I mean, that's just a guess. But it seems like a good guess in a multi-universe.
All right, back we go. Houston, we go. Gary, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening, gentlemen. Good morning. I think we're living Atlas Shrugged. And Ayn Rand was just spot on about how when you lose your ability to be rewarded for your work, that you're not going to work. And but her ending was not realistic. And I'm curious how we're going to get rid of some of the, how we're going to make this transition and when, and what you think about that. Like I said, living in the now and forgetting, you know, we got to get over the next 4 years or next year. So what do you think about, I've read that book three times, and I think the lady would just be turning in the grave if she saw what was going on today. What do you think how we're going to get out of this?
Indeed, she would. The heroic individual stands above the crowd and demonstrates what it really takes, you know, the Ayn Rand. Listen, we're in another era. It isn't the heroic individual, it's a heroic community. It is an eco-village, a co-housing community, a neighborhood that comes together and it says, let's figure out how we can create multiple livelihoods, multiple ways of supporting one another, and build resilience, build community, build economies of scale, and so on. So I think we are in a dramatic time of shift from the Atlas Shrugged and the heroic individual into the heroic community. And that's going to be a difficult transition because we have designed our world to be heroically individualistic, community, homes, isolated from one another. And we're just not designed for the kind of future that we need to live in. So. It's a challenge that we face.
Dwayne, do you think before it gets better, it's going to get worse?
Yeah, it definitely will. I think, and financially, climatologically, in terms of civic unrest because of food supplies and all the rest. And so that's just to be expected. So let's get on with building systems to deal with that, and then not only deal with that, but then also at a more fundamental level to say at a very local level in my livelihood, my particular job, what do I want to do? What kind of community life do I want to have and all the rest? And so we need to get to work at a very local level and using the talents that we have and recreate our lives and get on with it. So...
Next up, let's go to Las Vegas. Alex, go ahead. There you go. Alex, you still with us? Nope. I guess not. But Ralph, let's try you in Manhattan. Go ahead, Ralph.
George, Dwayne, you touched on it before about how far we've advanced technologically in this very short time. I myself find that it's kind of pulled us apart from each other. I believe that as much as it's brought us together, I can contact whomever I want at any time I want and gain any kind of knowledge from that little box that I have in my room here. But Dwayne, would you think that overall the techno world has kind of taken our humanity, if you will, a bit?
A bit. Indeed, I would. And to the extent that the techno world is dominated by commercial interest, it will just suck it out as much as it can. And so then that's why Some people say, well, look, wait, the internet will take care of it. It's a democratic system. It will not work the same way television did in the rest. No, it's a commercial system, and we have to step up to see that these technological systems really serve us as citizens and allow us to pull together in common cause. And they could do that. They could let me see you and know you and talk with you and connect with you and along with a lot of other folks, and we could do that. So, it's the technology is both pulling us apart in a commercial sense, but pulling us together in a civic sense. If you look at like the Arab Spring and some of the other activities that are out there, so it's a mixed bag, and I think it depends upon our maturity and our visionariness as a community.
Let's go to the Bronx. John, take it away. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Okay,
George, I'm sorry to hear about your father. My condolences.
Thank you, John.
Dwayne, you know, I wanted to speak about the duplicity present in the universe. I think one of the unspoken laws of the universe could be duplicity when you consider the theory or concept of multi-universes. And also, if you look within yourself, there is a duplicity present in our bodies. Two kidneys, for example, two lungs. I don't think that that is just solely, you know, for biological reasons. I think there's sort of a principle or a lesson to be learned.
And the lesson would be, would it be a polarity?
Duplicity. And also, you spoke earlier about Plato's concept of an individual existing within a universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that that just repeats itself everywhere. You
mm-hmm.
see redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
We've got a few more minutes here left, so let's take Jesse in Orlando, Florida. Go ahead, Jesse. Thank you.
Hi. It's a pleasure to speak to both of you guys this evening.
You too, Jesse.
I got some good questions and theories, but whatever. The one I called about tonight would, what be your take on the knowledge of the forbidden fruit? For example, if you look back at all the cultures that had way more knowledge and advancements and achievements than even we have today, and they were ancient, like, for example, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas, even the Egyptians, if, when they looked out into the stars and the different planets and everything, they didn't have telescopes that we know of today, but yet they were able to predict, and with their different calendars. And what if they got so advanced with their quest for knowledge that they figured out or answered their own questions why we were here? Either one of two things could have possibly happened, or maybe even more, that they advanced on to the next step, or that they were erased because it was forbidden, and that's why they disappeared without a trace.
Hmm. Where did they go? Go ahead.
I'll take my answer on or off the air, gentlemen.
Wow. That is a complex, actually, very complex. And I don't pretend. I have a bit of appreciation for the Mayan peoples and such, but I don't pretend to understand well enough to answer that.
What do you think is going to happen December 21st, 2012?
Personally, I don't think much will happen. I think there's a very likelihood that before then, by the summer, we're going to have some serious financial challenges, and that could be well before, you know, the December 2012 date. I think there's going to be a number of shocks to the system. There's going to be a weather shock. We've already had some of those. There's going to be financial shocks. It's going to be worse. There's going to be civic riots as people don't have enough food like they haven't had in 33 countries 2 years ago. They had civic riots. In different ways, the world is going to be in chaos and conflict until it decides, okay, let's learn how to live in a more civic way at a higher level, and let's create those stories of conscious evolution and creation and celebration and all the rest in a way that works, in a way that really works. And it requires the kind of conversations that George is really hosting here tonight. Open it up.
You got it. Let's take one more, Long Beach, California. Eric, let's squeeze you in here. Go ahead.
Hey, George, this is me. I was at the Waking the Word conference.
Oh, yeah, sure thing. Yeah. Right.
I have a question about the known universe that we live in. Why is everything older than the known universe? Do you think that we came from, in another universe to this universe?
Well, the universe is about 14 billion years old, 13.7 billion. That's what they're estimating now. Our solar system, 4.5 billion. If there are other multiverses, they'll probably be younger. They may be much older. It's hard to believe anything older than that, you know? It really is.
Indeed.
Dwayne, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show. Goes by fast, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I've enjoyed it. Very much, George. Thank you.
Thank you. The name of the book, by the way, The Living Universe, is it still available?
Indeed, it is. Oh, yeah.
Amazon, all over the place?
All over the place.
All right. Very good. Thanks. Yeah. Dwayne Elgin, the name of the book, The Living Universe's websites, they're all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. On our next program, we're going to be going back into the 1800s for some very strange and mysterious stories. Plus, we'll have those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. And who knows what'll happen on that. Stick with us then, and we will be back on our next program. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisor, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.